Hey babe, welcome to the Beyond Her Body podcast. My name is Albany, a driven fitness coach and entrepreneur focused on shifting and rebuilding your mindset to live out your wildest dreams in fitness, life, and personal growth. The conversations on this podcast are real and raw and will remind you that you are not alone. It's time to create a mindset that brings out the woman you truly are and represent that passion inside of you. Let's keep moving forward and let's do it together, babe. Let's go. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. We have a special guest today. I'm going to let her pretty much introduce herself, what she does, a little bit insight of her life and everything beyond that. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. So hello, everyone. My name is Alyssa, and I am so happy to be here today. So I have a pretty big story. So starting back, I'll start with in college, I was a college athlete. So that got me really into the fitness world. I loved working out, always loved like being athletic and lifting weights and feeling strong. I'm 6 feet tall. So I've always been like tall, athletic. Everyone has always seen me as like the athlete type. And then after college, I'd played softball all my life. After college, I went to grad school and got my master's in speech and language pathology. So right now I'm actually a full-time speech language pathologist working with kids with autism. However, that health and fitness love never left me throughout that process. So in grad school, I worked with my first online health coach, and it was such an amazing experience that made me want to help change women's life, because online coaching was this new thing. And I was like, wow, if I could do this in my spare time, like I'm supposed to do this too. So I got my nutrition certification, started getting rolling with that, developed my first business. And that was named the Confident Queen Method, to help women lose weight, increase their confidence. And at the same time as that, I actually got diagnosed with PCOS. So it was a big challenge for me, really helping women, telling them to be confident. And at the same time, my body was changing before my eyes. Like I was gaining weight rapidly without changing my diet, still working out every day, doing all the things to try to be healthy. And it kind of felt out of control for me. So that dove me to dig a little bit deeper into learning about hormones. So I did get more education. I got my functional nutrition and metabolism science specialization certification. So that taught me a lot about hormones, and through my own experience with that and through my own health coach, now I really focus on a lot of helping women with PCOS and more complex hormonal issues as well. So that's a brief rundown of kind of what got me here. And I'm just loving being able to do that and being able to give back and kind of speak on from the perspective of someone who's actually been through it.
For sure. And I think that it's so important that you do continue to voice that, because a lot of women experience all of the side effects of PCOS. They're experiencing the symptoms, all this stuff, but they don't necessarily know what the heck PCOS is, or even that they have it, or that it's even a thing. So yeah. It's becoming more relevant in the online space, but there's still a lot of women that aren't necessarily aware. And it's so good, because just like, it's not something that we need to be scared about. It's just something that we really have to dive into and make sure that your body's healthy and responding in a good way, and it'll all be okay. So backtracking a little bit, we met. So whoever's listening, Alyssa and I, we actually met through IFCA, which IFCA is an online business course where pretty much you are just learning the basics of your business, learning, okay, what the heck to do, how to start, all of the systems, the billing, the clients, everything that you can think of. We met through IFCA. And actually how I really met you and how I knew you is when I got on my sales call with Erin. For some reason, our times got switched, and she was talking to me for like 5 minutes, or she was talking to you for like 5 minutes. And I was like, wait, I don't think she's saying Albany. I think she's saying Alyssa. So that's how I knew, had kind of knew of you before So a little bit of a backstory, but with us, I know, right? With us both being on the, in the online space and the online with health and fitness, something that we wanted to talk about today with you guys was diving into outside factors, diving into that when you are starting your fitness journey, your life really doesn't stop on the outside things of that. So we're going to kind of dive into some fun topics, really relatable topics that we both have experienced with our fitness journey. And then if you guys can relate, share this, let us know, DM either of us, and we'll be happy to kind of talk to you through it, whatever it is. But outside factors in your fitness journey, that doesn't necessarily have to be anything crazy dramatic. It can be little things as far as you're kind of uncomfortable to eat around your friends. It's uncomfortable to track your food when you're not alone and that you're with other people. It can be that you don't know what to do when you're traveling, eating out, finding healthy choices. It could be relationships. It could be jobs. It could be any type of things like that, that kind of will get in your way with your fitness journey. And I feel like once somebody starts the fitness journey, it's like the beginning of there's just going to be things. There's always going to be things. And stress and hormones and gut health all plays a huge part into our fitness journey. So that's what we're going to talk about with you guys today. Alyssa, do you want to start? Do you have any topics that you want to kind of bring up? Then we can kind of just roll off of those.
Yeah, sure. So I think, like you said, like there's so many things that can come up in life and will, like it's mm-hmm. a guarantee it's going to happen. So something that I always tell my clients and that I've actually been telling myself too, just like handling life stress and handling, you know, working two jobs and all that coming at me, is I like to have anchor habits. So thinking of an anchor, it keeps the boat where it's supposed to be, right? Mm-hmm. Like it keeps it from drifting away. And so if you have anchor habits that you do every single day that are simple, it helps you from drifting away from your goals, even when life gets in the way, even when you're stressed, even when you're busy, even when, you know, someone says something that makes you want to just explode. And so some of those things that I tell my clients or that I do, like it could be walking for 30 minutes a day, like something very simple. It could be, for me, listening to Christian music on the way to work every day to get my mindset in the right spot, you know, mm-hmm. so I'm not like getting mad at the person that cut me off or, you know, like getting in this anxious state before my day starts, or like getting in a glass of water every morning. Like it can be very simple things. But those are kind of like my non-negotiables, my anchors that keep me tied to my goal physically and mentally, no matter what else is going on, because I don't want to drift away from what I know I want to do and need to do that's best for me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Do you have any that you like specifically come to mind that you do or tell your clients to kind of practice?
Yes. So I am huge on affirmations, because that is something that really shifted. That actually was really grounding for me when my business shifted. And when we were started growing crazy, when I wasn't doing affirmations, when I wasn't saying, those things every morning, when I wasn't praying, that's when things weren't going how I wanted to. So I'm really big in affirmations, and I'm really big on starting your day off with, talking to yourself like you would to somebody that you love. I'm big on looking and stating your goals every single day. But I'm also big on allowing yourself to listen to how your body's feeling too. So those are the big things that I really nail and kind of try to dive into with all of my clients, is you have to make sure that you're talking to yourself in a positive way, because if you say anything negative, everything else is going to fall into place behind that. So if you're having a bad day and like, your nutrition just sucks. Honestly, it happens to all of us. Your nutrition just is horrible. If you keep telling yourself, oh, I keep going backwards and backwards and backwards and backwards, and it's going to be dragging on for long periods of time. So what I do is I just try to have them reaffirm every day, get back to where you were the day before, just release those. It's okay to feel it. And it's okay to be like, okay, yesterday wasn't good, but we have to reaffirm ourselves the next day. So that's one of the big ones for me.
Totally. And I think that reminds me of a Tony Robbins quote that struck me so much, was your behavior is not a result of your ability, but the result of your state that you're in the moment.
For and sure.
So to change your ability, you have to change your state. And so by automatically making your state regulated in the morning, by giving yourself that confidence through those affirmations, by mentally focusing on what you want to focus on and are choosing to instead of reacting to everything else going on in the world, that's so, so huge. And I think a lot of people get caught up in like, well, I just can't bring myself to work out. I just can't get motivated. Like I have too much going on. I'm too stressed. Like I'm too busy. And at the end of the day, like, it's not because you're not physically capable of walking or working out or eating a vegetable. Like you probably have the vegetables sitting in your fridge. Like you're capable of eating them, but if you're stressed out, like you're going to go to get some fast food or like you're too busy, you're just going to go make a rash decision. So that made so much sense to me when I heard that quote, that behavior is a result of your state, not your ability. So in order to change your behavior, you have to make sure your state is there first and you're in a good place mentally, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I love that too, because that's something that we hear, you probably hear it. I hear it a lot is, oh, I really want to get back on my nutrition. I just can't do it. You can't do it. You can always do it. It's really just diving deep into, okay, what do you want? What are your goals? Even if that doesn't look like tracking 24/7, at least a few days, just so you know where you're at. It's a mindset and it's a choice every single day with those affirmations, getting back on track. Something that I love that you touched on was if you're stressed out, you're not going to be in that state that you want to be to hit your goals. And that's something, ladies, if you're my clients, you know, I talk about this so much, but if you are in a stressful state and you are placing more stress onto your body, onto your mind, even if you might not think that life is stressful or the things that you're doing is causing stress to your internal health, you have to kind of take a step back and realize, okay, adding extra cardio in is not a good way to reduce your stress. Working out 7 days a week, no rest days, it's not a good day to, not a good way to reduce your stress. And I know that you obviously are a rock star with stress, with all of the hormones, the gut, all that good stuff. So would you give them a little bit of an insight of, okay, if you're doing extra cardio when you're already stressed out and your hormones are imbalanced and you're not rocking it out really with internal health, can you give them a little bit of an insight what that looks like when they are placing extra stress on their body?
Yes, totally. I mean, you're so right. Stress is huge and something that I really am working on managing myself. I know it's not the easiest thing to manage. But one thing, like you said, a lot of people will tell me like, well, I just need to go run to relieve my stress. I'm like, I don't think that's the best idea.
Yeah.
Because when you're stressed, I think of stress as like a bucket, even if it's good stress, like for me, my business outside of work, that's really good stress, but it still adds stress. I love doing it, but it's still mentally stressful on my mind. So it still goes in the stress bucket. Working out can be a really great form of stress, but it's still going to go in your stress bucket. And if your stress bucket is full of life stress, work stress, relationship stress, maybe eating not the highest quality food, so your body has a little bit of internal stress, then going and running and doing a HIIT workout on top of all that is just going to make your bucket overflow, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that we're managing all of the other stuff so our bucket doesn't get too high and overflow. So making sure you're sleeping 7 to 8 hours a night, making sure you're breathing, making sure you're managing your relationships and setting boundaries in your life with work in order to be able to work out and handle that stress from working out, if that makes sense.
For sure. And I think to dive a little bit more into why working out's a stressor, why cardio, why HIIT, because that is placing, when you are in that state of high intensity with your high heart rate, with your muscles working at a high, high rate, they're having to produce everything in your body to be able to perform those movements, is that stress. So us already having stress, us trying to figure out, okay, I want to hit these goals, but we're already stressed about not hitting those goals. If we're adding in extra stress, it's just going to make it worse. That's just going to make all of those internal issues worse. And it's going to probably make it way harder for us to lose weight as well.
Totally. And I think some people have become addicted to that cortisol burst, mm-hmm. especially if you're really type A and like really used to kind of getting that rush from your workouts. That feels really good at first, but then you're going to crash later. Like that HIIT workout feels really good and you feel really high and energetic because your cortisol spikes up so high, mm-hmm. but then you're setting yourself up for a crash. So I think some people need to actually learn how to slow down. And especially like, I don't know if you can relate, but as an athlete, like we were never taught to rest. Like yep. we had maybe one rest day a week, but no matter if you were really sore, like you were still going to weights, you were still sprinting, you were still doing all the things. And it's kind of something I had to relearn as an adult was like, oh, I can do 4 weightlifting workouts a week and be just fine. Like I actually need to rest more and just focus on walking and parasympathetic movement to get my body relaxed.
Yes, you nailed it. Because like I played volleyball in college as well. So I know exactly what you mean. It's go, go, go. You're not taught to rest. You're not taught to honor your body. You're not taught any of that stuff. Even in high school, ladies, if you did stuff in high school, you know that as well. So that's something that we in diet culture is go, 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 and you'll lose weight, or eat less and lose weight. And that's just not, it's just not what is working. It's not the correct way. That's just what is wired in our brain. So that's what we're wired to believe. So yes, stress, we need to lower it down. We need to figure out what is best, what is the best way to lower that stress. And that looks different for everybody. With me, it's literally just chilling, hanging out, not doing a lot, writing down things to get them off of my mind is a big way for me. Affirmations, but that could look completely different from somebody else. That could stress somebody else the heck out if they're having to write down what they want to see every day. So finding what works best for you to help reduce that stress, figure out what that is. If you need help trying to figure out what either of those are, let either of us know. That's what we specialize. We work with ladies all day, every day that are on their fitness journey, wanting to figure out kind of these things. So do you have anything else that you want to touch on as far as outside stressors, kind of before we move on to hormones, all that good stuff?
Yeah, let's move on to hormones.
Okay, perfect. So with social media, I know that there's a lot of information starting a little bit to circle around about hormonal birth control, about honestly any type of form of birth control, the side effects, how women are dealing with coming off of the birth control, the PCOS, just the hormones in general. I think that it's a big topic, and a lot of us ladies really need to be aware of all of that, because since a young age, all of us were taught like we go on this to help us with our cramps and to help it regulate our periods, because that's what I was on it for. I had no idea what it was doing to me. I didn't read the side effects. I didn't know. But I remember when I came off of it, it was the best feeling. My body felt like kind of new again. I had energy. My breakouts, I obviously broke out a little bit at the beginning because those hormones were releasing, but it was like, oh my gosh, this is so refreshing. And I had no clue. And I don't think a lot of us realized what was going on. And I know that you have a story as well. You have a lot of information on that. Would you like to start sharing, and we can kind of just go off of each other with all of these topics?
Sure. Yeah. So I have a few birth control stories. I actually tried it because I lost my cycle from stress as a college athlete. Go figure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was putting so much stress on my body that it went away completely for 6 months. Then finally, when I came home for summer and could relax and stopped pushing myself so hard, it came back. Mm-hmm. But even though it came back, the doctor was like, well, you didn't have it for 6 months, so let's just go on birth control to regulate your cycle, which as we know,
yes, no,
it doesn't. So birth control does not regulate your cycles. It gives you synthetic hormones mm-hmm. that are not the same as the hormones your body is producing. So it makes you have a cycle every month, but it is not your body actually producing the hormones like a typical cycle would be every single month. So that's just something that a lot of people don't quite understand about birth control.
Yes. So it's kind of scary to like think about that. That's what's been going on with our body forever. So every month you're pretty much, it's like how our mentor explained it to us. It's like a fake period. It's not real. It's not real hormones. It's just your body's sending out fake signals. So for however long that we have been on that hormonal birth control, your body has been holding in those real hormones for so long. So when it finally has time to, well, when you get off of it and it has time to release everything, it's like, oh my gosh, I can breathe again. I can naturally produce how my body is supposed to. Energy levels go up. It's obviously very, very different for everybody else. Not everybody else, but the symptoms are very different for everybody. So as far as women that are having to deal with hormonal issues, hormonal spikes, PCOS, infertility, there we go. Things like that. As far as PCOS, if you do not know what PCOS is, I'm going to let Alyssa explain that to you so they know a little bit more what it is, kind of symptoms, and then kind of how you have pretty much kicked its butt and how are dealing with it.
Yeah, I'm doing my best. But yeah, so I've been really, really at it for the past year and a half, I would say. But so first things first, PCOS stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. And the name is actually a bit misleading because you actually don't need cysts on your ovaries to have PCOS. But that is one characteristic. So how it's diagnosed is through the Rotterdam criteria. So there's three, you have to meet two out of three things. So one could be anovulatory cycles, which means you're not ovulating or they're really irregular. They're really long. Mine got to be like 48 days long. Wow. So they were really, really long. And then the second one, you can have cysts on your ovaries. So they can do an ultrasound and see if there are cysts. And then the third characteristic would be high or elevated androgen levels, which is usually your male hormone testosterone. However, it doesn't have to be. It can also be, there are a few other androgens that we can look at other than testosterone. Like I didn't have high testosterone myself. However, I had high androsterone and androstenedione. So there are other different androgens to look at as well for PCOS. But how you know you could possibly have PCOS, like I said, if you have those longer cycles, if you have really irregular cycles, or maybe you don't have a cycle at all, that could be possible. There's a lot of other things it could be. But then another hallmark characteristic of those high androgens is hair loss on your head, acne, facial hair, like really thick hairs on your chin. Those are all indicative of high androgens. So if you have those two symptoms kind of going on, then that could definitely be an indicator that you would want to look deeper into exploring. It could be possibly PCOS. Mm-hmm. And so given that, the way that I have managed mine personally, and that I would generally tell my clients or anyone struggling with it, first, a lot of times PCOS can be caused by really high stress. That goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So managing stress, like we've said, is so, so crucial. For me, my cortisol was through the roof. We tested it. It was really high. I had too much stress on my body. So I actually focused on light movement for like the first 2 months that I really tried to tackle it. And that helped so much. Usually since my cortisol was so high, weightlifting just made my body kind of puff up even more. Mm-hmm. Because of that added stress. So I walked a ton. I got, instead of my hour long workout, I would just walk for an hour or get those 10,000 steps in a day and just get some light movement in that wasn't going to add stress to my body. I also did some yoga and breathing to really help manage stress too. As far as eating, a lot of times that internal stress can be caused by eating highly processed foods and foods that aren't necessarily great for our body. So eating wise, I stuck to a mostly Mediterranean style diet, eating a ton of vegetables, some fruit, beans, seeds, good healthy protein, salmon, tons of fish and healthy fats. That really, really helped just decrease a lot of inflammation in my body. And also made sure I was eating enough calories. Being in a calorie deficit was not the answer. And I actually lost a little bit of weight from inflammation when I increased my calories to a good amount. Now, obviously, every body is different, but those two things, managing stress and really cleaning up my diet, staying hydrated, drinking enough water, are definitely three places that I would recommend starting if someone was battling PCOS. There was one other thing I was going to think of. I remember managing your blood sugar. So obviously eating a Mediterranean style diet is important. But one thing I also did was make sure that my blood sugar was in check. And usually blood sugar can spike if you're really stressed out. So again, managing that stress. And if you're eating foods that are maybe very high in carbs and also, not pairing them with protein and fiber and fat sources. So making sure to have balanced meals consistently throughout the day, including protein and healthy fat and some healthy carbs, was really, really helpful in keeping my blood sugar consistent, because that diabetes is a big risk for people with PCOS. So we want to make sure to manage your blood sugar. One way that I knew I was managing my blood sugar was I would take a glucometer and prick my finger, usually one day a week. I would look at it fasted, so right when I woke up, before eating anything, and then also look at it 2 hours after meals. And it should be right around 75 to 85 is ideal. Under 100 is usually okay as well, but just to make sure that managing that blood sugar is huge so it doesn't turn into diabetes.
For sure. That is such great information. If anybody has symptoms, maybe thinking that they might have PCOS, hormonal imbalances, any of that stuff, I'm going to link Alyssa's Instagram below. Also, all of her information, I'll link it in the show notes too, so you guys will have access to her. Alyssa, do you have any courses, anything coming out that you want to talk about to anybody that's listening?
Yeah. So I haven't even announced this to anyone yet. However, exciting. Not to hear. So I am actually working on a PCOS program that includes a PCOS course and coaching for women specifically with PCOS. Obviously, it's something that I'm very passionate about after having been through and learning so much about it. So I don't have a set date for when it's coming out. However, if you follow me on Instagram, I will definitely be posting about it as it leads up to it, and a lot of other just helpful free info on PCOS. So that would be
for sure. Awesome. That's exciting. Yes, that's so exciting. So we'll have all of that linked. I will also share on my story when she announces it too. So anybody that's going through those PCOS symptoms, anything that, and if you think that you have it, you can reach out to her. So I'll go ahead and we'll be in contact when that's launching as well. Hopefully we can come back on here when it does launch and you can kind of just give a little bit more overview about it and talk to ladies kind of about what is happening, what, when you're launching, all that good stuff. So, is there anything else that you would like to leave the listeners with before we head off? I always ask everybody that I have on here, what is a piece of advice that you would give to anybody that's wanting to start their fitness journey, but a little bit nervous, but not really sure where to go? What would be a piece of advice that you have for them?
Oh, that would be good. Coming from, I'm in my PCOS mindset, I just think back to, I mean, I know fitness was used to be so easy for me and so natural for me. But when I got diagnosed with PCOS, it really was like I remember just like crying after the doctor, like thinking there was no solution. Like I was like, I don't know what else to do because the doctor just told me to go on birth control and just kind of ignore everything else. And so I would say to anyone who's listening who is really struggling with hormone imbalances or even just to get going with their fitness journey, remember that there is hope and that you can figure it out. Everything is figure outable. I had no idea what to do when I left that doctor's office. I was like, I know all this stuff about nutrition, all this stuff about working out. I still don't know what to do. But that didn't stop me. That didn't make me give up. You have to keep going and keep searching for answers because there are answers. You don't have to stay stuck where you are, even if you feel like you've tried everything, even if you feel like the doctors aren't helping. Like, I just want to make sure that you still believe in yourself and that you know that you have the power to figure it out and that there are people out there that can help you. So
I love that. There's always a coach. There's always a mentor. There's always somebody out there that has experienced kind of what you're experiencing. And something good that I like about the online space is us coaches, we kind of like to dig through things a little bit deeper and actually help you feel better, not just kind of prescribing you kind of stuff. I know doctors are amazing. I'm not taking away anything from that, but we're really going to dive into kind of like the natural way and just kind of helping you feel better. So
yeah. And sometimes you need someone to borrow that belief from, like sometimes on your hard days, like you need a coach to be able, you need someone to reach out to just to say like, hey, I believe in you. Like, hey, you can do it. You're doing great. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that power of a coach just guiding you and always being there for you can't be really replaced by anything else.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that so much. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I will link the show notes below for anybody that wants to be in contact with Alyssa. And then we will talk to you guys soon. Have a good day.
Bye.